Good evening. It's 7 o'clock. We'll open. And I'd like to open with a verse from James that means something to me. I hope it's appropriate. 1 James, verses 16 through 25. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And personally, I think we do a real good job over here. This has a angry and kind of a phrase in it that I've kind of thought about skipping out. I don't really think it's appropriate to us. It's always impressed me how we're all kind of going in the same direction over here, which is a wonderful blessing. You know, there's a lot of churches, bodies that don't do that. We're very fortunate. I'd say a word of prayer to open us, and then I'll pause for a silent prayer for each one of us to talk to God however we want to, whether we want to thank him, ask him, whatever. I won't presume to know what you want to talk about, so you're going to get your own chance. I'll pause for a moment there, and then we'll begin. So, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come together tonight and do your will. We thank you so much that we have this body, the leadership and the pastor that we have, somebody that's willing to share the word with us in the right way. And thank you for all the workers that are in the church and pulling like they should. And guide us, give us wisdom, and show us what you'd have us do. Oh, man. I don't know if everyone's looked at the minutes of last meeting. Joe sent them out to all of us. I don't know if we have them here tonight, do we? Okay. If Joe would want to go through that real quickly, we'll see if we have any questions on anything that happened.
All right, kind of the highlights from last year's meeting. We discussed the 2019 accomplishments, which were the playground fence was put up, the automatic door opener was installed, we revised the website and became activated, so we have our new website running. Fellowship hall speakers were installed, parsonage floor coverings were installed, new LED bulbs have been put in the sanctuary, a new member and baptism service have been held, and committee job descriptions have been updated. We also received a report, Church History Project, Sharon Shepherd and Judy McGee, report on the progress of the History Project. They noted that 2019 was our 140th anniversary of the church, and there was a desire to prep for a special project for our 150th anniversary. There's also a history booklet being developed. Awana, there was Spring Bible Conference was set, and the speaker was selected. A date accepted the Sunday School picnic. The leader for the VBS Vacation Bible Study, or Bible School, was selected. And we also had a suggestion to make cleaning days, to have a list of the projects needed, so instead of one day, people coming in, people come in at a time, select something from the list to do, and accomplish that. And there was discussion about the women's study group, who would be doing the concession at the Washington Rodeo that year, as the youth group would not be doing it anymore at that time. There's also discussion about adding some new members to the kitchen committee. Other than that, that was pretty much it, and we held our election and it was over, so.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Does anybody have any questions, comments, changes to his presentation? I see nothing, so we'll accept it as presented. And Daryl has left us a financial report that everyone should have. Again, I'll pause for just a moment. If you haven't had a chance to look at that, I guess you could make a comment, but without Daryl here, there's probably not going to be a lot of answers. But if somebody does have a comment about it, we've been real blessed this year, is about all I've got to say about it. Well, I really don't see anything else, so if you do have questions, ask the board or ask Daryl, because he'd be very willing to talk to us about that, I believe. And on your outline for this evening, we have a couple of the items that we have done. Are there any questions about any of that? You know, I know some of this we may have not have talked about in the body. You may or may not be aware of everything. And I would entertain any questions. No point in me sitting here reading what you have in front of you. Okay, then moving along, for this upcoming year, we're planning on doing some more carpeting in the parsonage. If I recall correctly, most of the carpeting that we did before was in the basement, the lower level. Okay, all of it was upstairs, and we're looking at...
Yeah, there's three more rooms up there.
Okay, so the upstairs will be completely done then. Okay, thank you, Pastor. I've been real remiss. It's supposed to be part of my maintenance duties is to line up a cleaning day. I haven't done anything with the COVID going on. I like the idea that we had earlier about a list so people knew what they were doing. And is that okay with everybody? And I would invite any of you that had an idea of what needs to be done to contact me and give me something written. Because if you just tell me, getting to the age where I forget stuff. But, and on anything here that you have questions about tonight, it would be helpful if it's, we're going to go to the board with it, if it was a written, whether it's a proposal, a request, whatever it is, nothing gets lost in the translation. If you just write a two-line deal, it'll be just what you want and go to the board or the appropriate committee that way. The board did change the Sunday evening service around. We tried that last week for the first time, seemed to work very well. That was all with our internet audience in mind is why we did that. And I think that'll work real well. Got Sharon going to talk about history, she told me. She's in the back, so I'll ask the Entses if they want to address anything about Awana, where we're going with it, if we're going with it, how the changes, things worked out, anything you'd like to ask or tell us. And give you the podium or a mic.
Start off with a list of things here, and then a few other comments, and then we'll let you, if you got some questions or something. Breaking down the attendance, we have 7 TNTers, which is junior high, no, is third to sixth graders, and Sparks are kindergarten to fifth, or second grade. Got 20 of them, got 20 Sparks, got 7 Cubbies, that's the preschoolers, they're in there for 2 years. And Trek, there's only like 2 or 3, that's the junior high. And the numbers are down, 10 to 15 from previous years. Good leader numbers for the kids we have. Leaders seem very happy that we moved to Wednesday, because it's, you know, Sunday, well, I even heard that for quite a few weeks, that how glad we how glad what we were to not do it on Sunday. But thing was, we had some Sunday leaders who weren't going to be there, and there were Sunday kids who were only going to be there on Sunday who weren't going to come either. So it was like, let's just make it easier for everybody, or at least for our group of main leaders. So that's the reason we went back to a Wednesday. Numbers down, we don't know, you know, it could be the coronavirus related or whatever. I mean, who knows? And we kind of changed our times. We shortened the whole night by 30 minutes, and we're doing it a lot different than when we first started. First started, we had 2 council time. The handbook time is still separate, the 2 clubs. But we used to have one for council time for TNT and a council time for Sparks and a game time for TNT and a game time for Sparks. So now we got like 7 kids on a line, so that makes a better team than 3 or 4, you know, or less. So that seems to be working out all right to change the schedule. You know, there's still some things that, you know, some of the leaders would like to spend a little more time with the TNT group, but for right now, that's what we're doing. And the time change, I mean, we're letting them out at 7:45. Like on Sunday, we had them come in earlier. I mean, everybody came in early, and then they would leave, you know, so the kids could get home and get ready for school the next day for Monday. So, you know, having it at 7:45, it seems to, and that's kind of why we shortened the time frame too, just so they could get home a little earlier. And we're still kind of looking at whether or not to do a Grand Prix, you know, depending on how many people we want to gather around and do, you know, do that kind of a thing. So I guess it all kind of depends on what our guidelines are for the coronavirus. And I don't know, maybe you want to talk, you could probably talk better about the curriculum change. I mean, what we were, how we got into thinking that.
Well, one of the things that's been a struggle is, in order to make it work on Wednesday night and have people, some of the Sunday only people were willing to come Wednesday because we were going to end earlier. And so now it's really short. I mean, it feels, I think, especially TNT leaders feel like it's really compressed, and maybe like we're not getting in everything with them that we need to. John and I have been a little concerned with the leadership in Awana, like who's running it and some of the changes at the top level. And so at one point we had thought, you know, maybe we need to look at a different, you know, a whole different way that we do it. And I don't know. TNT, we really appreciate the whole discipleship aspect of it, but it just seems like something's missing there. Like, I don't know, like it's not working. So, I mean, we don't have any idea about something else. We have no suggestions for that. But the other thing that we had mentioned, and I don't know if it was last year or the year before, was that we would continue to do this, but if there is another couple that would want to step in and take the reins on Awana, we would be we would graciously step down. I mean, COVID has made it difficult anyway, but truthfully, I mean, we've been on autopilot, and I mean, I'm sure as you who are here recognize that as leaders, that the program runs quite smoothly, and it works. We got great leadership that knows what they're supposed to be doing, but we just feel, as you know, John is commander and me is assisting, that we're just kind of going with the flow, and so maybe that vibrancy from the top isn't there, and so I guess we wanted to confess that we recognize, you know, that there may be some aspects that are lacking in our leadership, and that we're aware of it, and that if there is any couple or individual that would like to step in, that we are, that we want to participate totally, you know, help out, do whatever, but maybe, you know, if somebody wants to administer
or has some better ideas,
or just, you know, get involved and want to
help. Just fresh ideas. We're just kind of sitting there going, oh, what do we do? How we take care of this? What, you know, maybe somebody else would.
Okay, we'll hang on.
Well, Jeanette, you mentioned it.
As long as you keep doing that, nobody's ever going to come forward.
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose we could say, this, we're done. This is our last year, and you figure it out. I mean, that's not really the way we work. But, I mean, we'll just continue to pray about it, and if y'all would pray about it too, that God would raise up someone, and if you're serious, we will hold on. And that you could come alongside, and we'll train you up, and so.
Well, we looked at some stuff, but we never really could find. I mean, there is a dynamic about how this is run. Maybe you could still have, you know, maybe a different curriculum and still do the games. I mean, we could still run it like a regular Awana.
Yeah.
Get some scholars on it, you know, figure out what were you thinking? Some of the Sparky curriculum is a little different, or?
Well, I was talking at lunch today, and Jenny mentioned that the Cubbies curriculum is very good. It really hits creation hard, and I really liked the Sparks curriculum when my kids were in it. It was, you know, it went over creation very explicitly. It also just about being kind and manners and respecting your parents, and there were just some, I mean, they have charts in this one, but I really miss the, just that. I just feel like Awana's going in a different, they're kind of heading in a different direction. And so, but like we said, we don't have any, we have not done any serious, you know, looking.
Searching.
That's a huge undertaking. I mean, even because just the way Awana works is great. You know, I mean, just the way it's set up. But kids aren't the same anymore, and they don't seem to, you know, Awana dollars, you know, those kids don't, especially the TNT, it's like pulling teeth just to get them to say their one verse. You know, they don't come prepared. And that, I don't know that we can change that, but I just feel like something is missing. Yeah. You were going to say something, Joe?
Oh, well, I was saying, you're talking about all the administration that goes with it. I don't know how many people know what all you guys have to do. Is there a specific area that you would like help in? Maybe you'd like to find somebody that weren't going to take the whole thing.
Running the theme nights, I mean, especially for me during tax season, it's even just coming up with them anymore. I just feel like, it's the same old stuff always, you know.
And you're gone a bunch of weeks.
Yeah, and I'm starting to be gone now. You know, if COVID wouldn't have happened, I would have missed 6 weeks of Awana in the fall, which is unusual, but that's going to be, you know, Lord willing, that's my speaking schedule now. And just publicizing things, I think it's like the communication with, you know, I just feel like I do need help in that area. I feel like I don't do that very well. I'm not a very good communicator with, you know, the texting of the parents and, you know, making decisions about, you know, letting people know, oh, it's, sending out cards or postcards, you know, this is the theme night, or, you know, just really engaging the parents and the kids. I mean, from the standpoint of how it runs once we're here, I mean, there's, like I said, that's clockwork. Y'all know exactly what you're doing, and you don't, you know, you need John to ring the bell and me to lead music. You know, the evening runs fine, but just the enthusiasm and the just getting parents involved, and, you know, kids that are missing. I used to send out cards to families. It's like, oh, you haven't been in Awana for a couple weeks, and that's not even on my radar anymore. So I guess it's really a communications person that would just take that. That would be huge. Somebody that would just be willing to do the theme nights, publicize the theme nights, you know, just take care of it, and not be me have to, okay, would you do this? And because by the time I tell somebody, okay, could you do this, it really is easier for me to just do it. So it really is just a passing on of, you know, a publicity coordinator, a communications coordinator, that kind of thing. I just feel like we need to get some life back into it, on the outside coming in. So that's kind of
my thoughts on that would be, I mean, asking like you're doing is fine, but I think if you ask specific people to do a specific task, you might have a little better results than throwing out a general, I need a PR guy. I mean, and that isn't exactly what you said, but
no, that's pretty much what I mean. Yeah.
Well, we have
pretty much what I mean.
We have people. I mean, Nancy sets up the
Yeah, Nancy takes care of pretty much it's like Nancy find the people to do council time. That works really well. That's not something, I mean, we haven't had to take care of that for a long time.
And Kelly does a huge job with knowing who the kids are and, you know, and making sure we have enough uniforms. We have enough, well, we got tons of uniforms now, right? Yeah. We inherited another club, but they just said, hey, we're not doing any more. Here's our stuff. So,
well, and it used to be, I mean, and I said this from the beginning, if we have Grand Prix during tax season, I cannot be the one who has to be, but it is always like, we have to decide when it is. I mean, we talk to the group, but then it's like, I'm always back there the last minute. Oh, I got to make flyers. I got to let people know, and I'm the one that decides, and I just feel like I'm failing at that. And I really meant it when I said I want somebody else to just take it, and somehow, and I don't know. I thought I was letting it go. I didn't feel like I was taking it back, but yeah, things like that. I mean, I just feel like that's not my area of expertise, and it's just, it puts a lot of additional stress during a really stressful time for, but you know, somebody tells me what to do, very happy to do it, but doing all the administering and the coordinating. So again, it is really, it's a PR kind of like, we're doing this thing, somebody take care of it. We're doing this, somebody run that, we're doing this. And that kind of feels like, well, isn't that what the commander does? So that's like, well, yeah, maybe we shouldn't be the commanders. I mean, that's where this whole line of thinking is coming from. Is this going out over the World Wide Web? Oh, well, hello, everybody. I don't know who I'm insulting out there.
I think you said a lot when you said that you'd be willing to do something if somebody tells you what.
Yeah, I don't want to be in charge of those things.
But if you want cards sent out, I would bet that you're going to have to tell somebody, I want cards sent out.
That's what she's saying, is that would be a problem. Is that she has to find somebody, get them to do it. It would be quicker for her just to do it.
I see.
Well,
less work for her.
Well, and again, the, you know, like, okay, yeah, it's the leaders. You should be the one. But at the same time, it's us as the head knowing, you know, and being an encouragement to you as leaders. And that's where I just feel like, you know, we haven't had a meeting. We haven't, you know, I just know it's lacking. And I just want you all to know that we know it's lacking. No, we don't. No, it's a flyer that goes out at the.
To the kids.
Yeah, to the kids. Like.
I mean, at least anything that you know is going to be certain times, we could get those done way, you know, even ahead of time, have them available, and we'll put the date on it, supposed to, you know, that month or whenever you're going to.
Well, it's just a whole, I mean, the Grand Prix is one thing because it's what day, what time. How soon, what are we eating, are we eating, who's the speaker? I mean, it is its own thing, and it would be one of those things. We need somebody to be in charge of the Grand Prix would be one thing, and it's parents' night is another thing, you know. And again, that's why it's like, maybe we're not the right people anymore, because isn't that what the commanders do? I mean, what else are we doing? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing, is coordinating those things? That's why I just feel like we are not living up to the expectations of what the, you know, we can delegate that all. And it's like, well, what are we doing?
That's what administration
does. Yeah. Well.
That's how I feel at VBS. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing now because everything's just going smoothly. You know, I mean, I do feel like those things are the things you can delegate. And I feel like just because you're not actually coordinating it and doing most of the work doesn't mean that you're not a good commander. But I understand where you're coming from. I'm not trying to argue.
Well, yeah,
that
I
too.
With the COVID thing, 1976, Jimmy Carter gave his national malaise speech at the Democratic National Convention, which received a lot of attention. And I think what he was discussing or describing there is kind of like the state of the country now. It's similar. It's a general feeling of discomfort, illness, or uneasiness whose exact cause is difficult to identify. I think the guy was on.
Well, I suppose if anything, it's really just a time to just publicly say, we get it, you know, we realize, you know, that maybe the ball has been dropped here, and you know that we're not blind to that. So, on that positive note, let's see, can I put a positive spin on that? Yes, I mean, praise the Lord. Yeah, it's like, well, you know, we could be gone and you wouldn't necessarily know. So I guess that's a testimony to just the commitment of the leadership here. I mean, that we know it's going to work. It's going to run. And so, I mean, it does make it easy for us to coast. So thank you. Yeah, keeping the goal in mind. Yeah.
Mark is a success. It never crossed my mind that you somehow failed.
Well,
if it did cross my mind, I wouldn't tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're also nice. But unless there's other comments, I will sit down now. We can take comments from the floor if necessary.
For your service. And again, if any of you have any suggestions, I'm sure you give them to the ENSIS, give them to the board, whoever, and I would urge you to write them down again. So to me, that's an effective way. There's no misunderstandings, but that's just my personal opinion, I guess. Next, we do have the Spring Bible Conference, as the pastor alluded to in his service this morning, which I pretty sure most all of you heard. We are planning a Sunday school picnic, and I assume it'll be September or thereabouts in the early fall again. Next I have is Bible school. Would you like to address that, please, Steph? Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. So,
and hopefully we can, yeah.
Yeah, we just need to pray that we can. We don't, mm-hmm. I guess we haven't talked about dates. We need to figure out a date. Do you have an idea? The first full week of June is 7 through 11. Okay, guys, did you talk about the rodeo again? I have not heard anything from Rebecca yet about the rodeo. So,
okay, and I'm sure you'll tell people that you need them, or
yeah,
request, I hope.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll start recruiting here soon.
Okay. Thank you. And Sharon, since you just now get in, I'm not even going to let you sit down. Sharon said that she would talk about her history project. The podium is yours, ma'am. Thank you.
Sorry I'm late, but I didn't realize when I was making all the copies that half of them were going out the back of the computer and going against the back of the wall and et cetera, et cetera. And I also thought that it would correlate it in sets of whatever, you know, the whole set, and then all I had to do was pick up the sets, but instead it did every page by itself. No, that's the word. Yeah, Carol said that. Yeah, it's not cola. Anyway, so does everybody have a copy like this? That you can share, or does everybody? Oh, Kendall's passing them out. Okay, this is just a sample of what's going around, a sample, so you can see what it's going to look like, and it'll be quite a bit thicker than this. I need to thank Judy McGee, who's been wonderful support, and Nancy, is she here? Is Nancy here? Oh, there you are. She's been my therapist. It's really been a fun project. It really has been fun. And then, like, looking at Jenny, I mean, some of the people that gave memories are people that grew up here that haven't been here for years and years. So, anyway, that's been kind of fun, too. So this is what the cover would look like. And, of course, I mean, if anything that you see in here as we go through or you have ideas, since it hasn't gone to the printer yet, we can, you know, change, we can do whatever. But I use this picture because Janice Johnson drew this, and this is the church that was in, it's been up longer than this one has, so I use this one. And I thought that would be a tribute to her, too, for that. And then the next page is, does everybody have one now? Is the table of contents. And so, like, the very beginning, I mean, that cover page I just showed you, and then the front would have, like, that we're, like, in the FEBC, and we have a mission statement, and who our pastor is, and the contact and website and stuff. So it would just kind of give overview of the church like that kind of information. And then we get into the history, and these are assorted pages. I just picked a few pages, but the history is like 35 or 6 pages long, and memories are 61 pages long. Anyway, so then the history. And what I've tried to do is incorporate pictures as well as you read along. Otherwise, it's just all reading, and that's kind of boring. So the pictures all, to me, it's boring. So anyway, and also to add other information, like the name of the church in the very beginning was Ebenezer, and I didn't know exactly what that meant. Maybe you guys all did, but I looked it up, and that's what it means there in that middle of that third paragraph, the end of the third paragraph on page 2, it says. So it tells us what it is. And it stayed Ebenezer for many, many years until it changed to the Evangelical Mennonite Brethren, and then it changed to Janson Bible Church. But and then I also, as we go through here, the pages aren't in order. I mean, they're in order, but they're not. You don't have every page, so that's why you don't have numbers that match. But anyway, there really was a lot of stuff that was interesting. Paul gave me a thick copy like this of minutes of the FEBC conference that was at one point called the Defenseless Mennonite Brethren Conference. And then they changed it to the EMB conference. But anyway, from the 1879 when they started having, well, 1879 or whenever it was, yeah. Anyway, when the conference started, that was 10 years later. But anyway, they had lots and lots of interesting notes. Every missionary, every church that was there at the conference, every pastor that was there, who the missionaries were that you support, they supported. So there were a lot of fun facts that you could get out of that. So I read those 3 times, and that's why I need a therapist. But anyway, where Nancy comes in. I know, she deserves a medal. Anyway, and she also found out, and she did some research, there's something called, whatever you called it, cognitive overload. Oh, Vic. Oh, good. Okay. So anyway, that's what we diagnosed me. Okay. Then that first page. And then the next one, that's page 6. Some of you, would know George Rempel. He was the longest elder that we ever had in our church. He's passed away now. But anyway, in that picture, he's in Vacation Bible School in a school. And you can't really tell who it is, but there's a... this was an old picture that Tina had. Tina's the other one that has, I mean, she can't die before it's over because she knows everything, you know? I mean, I can't believe all the stuff that she knows. So anyway, she had this picture, so I went ahead and used it because in the early years of VBS, often, many years, they did have it in public schools. And so that's what that picture is. That's in a public school there. And then the picture there on the other bottom there, that's Bo Croker, who is Tina's grandfather. and his wife, Katharina. And Katharina is German, and sometimes you might see it as Catherine, but Katharina is how she came when they migrated. But anyway, he was our pastor for 40 years, and he's the longest serving pastor at this point for 40 years. So also, he was elected to be the elder of our church, Henderson, and Litchfield, Nebraska, at one point. So not only was he our pastor, but he was also doing those other things as well. So, and the picture includes, the back row is his, are his sons, and then their wives, and then the two women and the one man in the middle, they're single, and that's Catherine Croker, for those that know, on the left, and Agonitha Croker on the right, and then Pete Croker, and all three of those have passed away. So anyway, in the between them. And then the next page, on page 10, there's the 75th anniversary of our church. And so I thought that was kind of cool that they all stood outside and had their picture taken like that. And let's see here. It, oh yeah, okay, 1957, and I'll put these in the appendix, but they voted to have a church library, and then they decided to have two people that would write up what the guidelines were going to be for the church library, and then you couldn't have a book in there unless it met those guidelines. And it's interesting because years ago, when Marilyn Croker and I did the library and we did all of the cataloging and all of that, we didn't even know that those existed, but we assumed that some, you know, you have to be biblical and you can't be this and that and whatever. And so when I found those, I couldn't believe it, that that's what we used and we kept them, but there really weren't any books in there that didn't meet the criteria anyway. So that was good. Okay, and then the annual church you saw the table of contents, right? I mean, at the beginning, I'm just kind of giving you some highlights through there. Okay, so in the table of contents in the history part, there will be the kind of pages that we've just gone through, and then there will also be synopsis of the annual ministries, what we do weekly, what we do monthly, and those can be paragraphs, well, just kind of like this. But then there's also going to be a section where, because I know a lot of you that are involved in some of these major things, we have full write-ups of the history and how it's developed and that. So that'll also be in there. But this just gives you an idea what'll be there in that part. Okay, then the next page, and it doesn't have a number. That's Jensen Bible Missionaries. And so on this list, the bold are all the current ones that are serving right now. And then there's, and I didn't bring those pages, but every single one of these missionaries on this list has a page that talks about what their service is, where they are, what they did. And some of them are currently serving, the ones in bold, and then the ones that are no longer serving, and many long passed away. We have some really nice write-ups on them, too. Some of the information I got from the obituaries, much of it I also got from Tina, but it's just kind of cool. Now, just so you notice, Oscar and Sarah Croker Anderson, she never went to church here, but she's the sister of B.O. Croker, who was the pastor here for 40 years. And because of her ministry in the Congo, there were several other missionaries out of the Croker family that became missionaries because of her story. And Tina has the book, and she's said that we, and I have it at my house, Robert and Nancy have read it. Anyway, the name of the book is Oscar and Sarah, A Congo Love Story, and it's about them and also their love for the Congo people. And it's an easy read if anybody wants to read it. I have it at home. And then she said we could keep it here. So that's, if you don't recognize anything with a Sarah, that's why. Okay, then the following, the pages that follow, each of the, I mean, with missionaries, it will also tell us who they're related to. So you kind of know that way, but there's 15 people on the list that are related to B.O. Croker. So when you start studying church history, it's like, boy, these people really did get excited about being a missionary. So, okay, and then there's a section on memories, and you have a list there of everybody that gave us memories. Okay. And the memories cut off at 2019. There were a handful of people that wrote them in 2020, but none of the memories came from 2020. But anyway, just if you see that next to their name when you see their memory. Okay, and then the next page is church memories, and I just gave you a sample there. And so it was just kind of neat. I don't know, Pastor Reimer's wife, Tina, she and her husband, Elmer, kept a diary. Both of them kept their own diaries. And so when he submitted his memories, he just took them out of his diary, and then she also added two of them. And so those two paragraphs are from her. She's got a few other things in there too. But I thought that first one was interesting. Did you see it one night as Elmer's preaching? He surprised us by saying, "There's a car circling around our cars. Will the church board please step out and invite them in? If so, in it so happened that the three church board members were all tall men and looked authoritative. When the driver saw these men come out, he rushed away." So, and then the other one. This is Bertha, and you know, Bertha is still alive. I mean, this is about Bertha, but she's still alive, and she remembers this. And she's living in a nursing home, about somebody who got stuck out here in the parking lot and then asked her the next day if she'd call a wrecker, when she said sure, and then instead she called the sheriff. And so I thought that was kind of neat. Go Bertha, you know. So, okay, and then Marge Jansen, who is Jenny's sister, Shoemaker, she had one about the street meetings in Jansen. Is there anybody here that hasn't heard about the street meetings in Jansen during the days that they had multiple bars and a hotel? Everybody heard of that? Well, I had never heard of it before this project. Oh, you haven't? Okay, well, it used to be the town to be in. People would come from 100 miles away on weekends. And so it was quite a lively town. And the church youth would give their testimonies there, and they would sing. And Elmer Reimer's brother made a loudspeaker in Canada, and then it could be loudspoken all over Jansen, and some of the people really liked hearing the music. And then there were also other people that didn't like that church group hearing the gospel. And this was Elmer and Paul Gosen, who is your Jenny's cousin, right? Yeah, anyway. So they didn't like the sermon and all, and they had the singing, and then at some point it ended, probably when the bars started folding up. But in the early 1973, Paul gave me an article from the Beatrice newspaper that talks about the wild town in 73. And we also know it was going on in the 40s, so it would have been going all that through all that time. So, and I know... worse than Crete? Oh, okay. Okay, I didn't hear that. Okay. Oh, Crete the island. Okay, no, I didn't get that. Okay. Okay, well. Yeah, we did. And it's not in here, but it's in the book. And Pastor Reimer said that the Lord has seen fit to put this church in this very needy town. And I thought that was really kind of neat that he wrote that in his journal. No, And then Dave Rempel has some stuff on there too. And is he here? No, he's not here. Okay. Well, anyway, he just talked about, and it's true, men and women sat on separate sides and there weren't any restrooms, no air conditioning, and an occasional barn swallow would come, join the service. And I thought this was, he had to chop wood at Ernest Jansen's pasture for the wood stove at church. And he doesn't remember ever getting cold. That's also, you don't have that page, but there's a note in the board minutes, because in early board minutes, they would say what they're going to do, and they would ask somebody to let them know when the elders or the board members are supposed to go cut wood. And that was, you know, so those guys did that. And there was a couple other things like that. Okay, then in the appendix, there's going to be several things. But one of the things I found that was interesting, and this was out of a book called Wider World for the Kingdom. And it's a book that was written during the Nebraska Centennial. all about Jansen, Jefferson County churches. So the book is like this thick. Has anybody seen it? You've seen it, Kendall? Okay. It's really an awesome book. And so I went through the whole book and looked at it, and there's 13 churches that were founded. And that first, that number one, that's the first one in Jefferson County. So anyway, there were 13 founded. Some have already celebrated their 150th, but we will be the last ones to do that. And then I thought it was interesting that the church Nancy grew up in, they were also founded the same year that we were. And so they didn't get founded till September, so we beat them. But anyway, I thought that was kind of neat that we know that. So I'm just putting that in there so you have a little bit of just kind of a fun fact type thing, you know. So, okay, and then this, does everybody have a copy of Overview 2019 Overview? That kind of page? You don't? Okay, here, if you don't, I'll give you mine. And anyway, so what? Because we were ending the 140th with 2019, what we did is we went through and just listed how many members we had coming to church. I think it was like 73 then. Anyway, all kinds. Who doesn't have it? Does it? Most people have it. Do you have that list? Okay. All right. Good. All right. So anyway, that doesn't necessarily have to be in the book or anything, but we thought Judy's going to try to keep records from year to year, so when we get up to 150, we'll have a little bit more information than we had when we were starting this time. And so that's what we have. And I suppose in the board meeting minutes, they have, like, accomplishments or something that got done this year, like if it was new carpet or you put in this or that, that would be in the annual meeting minutes. Yeah, so we could get those, yeah. So anyway. And so, does anybody have any questions? No? If you see something or think of something that you, you know, changes you would like to make or any input at all, really, it's wide open for suggestions. Yes, Jerry? Well, the best information about our church is in that book, and we have a copy of it here at the church. And so what I'm doing with the records is I'm organizing them. Right now they're in 5 boxes, and I'm going to organize them and put them in the back closet back here and label them. So if anybody needs something, wants to know for sure it's a fact, then, but anyway, we have that book back there. And I can't remember who even, I'm sure it must have been Tina that gave me the book. But it's interesting to read. It's really interesting to read. So, yeah, and I'm hoping the person that said he would put it together for us, he lives and works somewhere, but he does book binding on the side. He's very good and easy to work with. He's a Christian. And last year after the meeting, I asked him about what it would cost us, and he said, depending on one or two sides or whatever, $12 to $15. And so I think that's very doable, really. And anybody who would like one, when it's ready, you'll have a chance to look at it and see if you want one or not. And, of course, we'll get some here for the church, at least one for the history. To put in the safe in case rapture comes and people that aren't saved know that saved people came here. So at least there'll be one in the safe that isn't locked, but anyway. What? What does that mean? Well, it won't be there by me. But yes, I'm sure somebody like you could put it on there. Yeah. Yeah, you could. So if you didn't want an actual book to hold, you could do that. What? Oh, no, I know. No, it's okay. Yeah. Oh, that's another good idea. Oh, good, okay.
One thing, too, I might mention, we're looking, the one thing we didn't have in pictures of is that pictures from the ladies' retreats, and we've had 21 retreats, I think. So if anybody, I know we always took pictures.
I know I have some of that. We have some VBS, we have some Awana, the ladies' retreat. And so that's not going to be like a big photo album. It would be like a half a page or a page, just so you can kind of see. And Jackie Rempel put together Awana books for the first 3 years of Awana. And when you go through those and you see like Braden Schultes, who was just a little pork chop baby like this, being held by Esther Croker or Elfrida, they're priceless pictures to see that they went all the way through Awana and now here they are. Well, he's 24. You know, it's just kind of neat to see that. And so anyway, we can play around a little bit with pictures, but it's not going to be like a big photo album, but it's still kind of fun to see. And I know when I started looking at old pictures like that Tina had, it really was neat to see some of the stuff that has gone on and see those people 50 years ago that you still know now, you know. So anyway, okay, so that's it. And I'm hoping March 1st to take it to the guy who will make them. And so that means that you should start tonight if you have changes. I'm not kidding. When I made these copies for tonight, I thought it was going to be made all 10. I mean, the whole packet that you have in separate section, you know, your copy, but instead it was every single page was a separate, wasn't correlated. And then it started shooting out the back of the computer. So.
You didn't do them here, right?
No, I didn't do them here because I didn't know how long it would take, and I did have a whole ream of paper I was bringing for that, and then I decided to do it at home, so that was probably a mistake, but anyway. So.
You guys have no idea the patterns about this woman. This you're a walking gold mine.
Oh, yeah, well, I have asked the Lord not to take me home until it's done. Just because it'd be too hard for somebody to find stuff, you know? And it really has been a huge blessing just to look at all this stuff and see the people that have gone before us, how serious they were about their faith, the service, the servanthood that they've had, the children. I mean, it's just amazing when you go all the way back to 1879 and you can read some of that stuff and then what the conference has done. So Paul shared a website yesterday. There's 40 people in the conference now, and we were one of the original three, so 40, but 16 in the United States and 34 in Canada. So anyway, yeah. So thank you.
Okay.
And
well, thank you very much for the time you put here.
It's pretty amazing. Next, I'll open this up for any questions, comments, ideas, projects from the body. Yeah, go ahead, Jeffrey.
Sorry, I should have talked. I just heard about the one of them I was reminded today, the other one I just heard about today. But somebody suggested we consider moving the Sunday evening service to 6 o'clock so that people can get their kids home and get to bed, and if they have jobs and have to get up early 4 in the morning. I know we've talked about it in the past. Very well, and of course, back to the day, you know, a lot of farmers milking cows and things work better in the evenings. We don't have anybody in that situation now. Well,
just sounds like something the kitchen committee probably ought to address.
Yeah, I know.
And if they want that, I think they just need to ask for it. I have a hunch.
Get out the scissors.
It was,
It does seem a lot nicer.
Jackie Rumble was wanting this Sunday service to start earlier because they have to go to bed very, very early. Because they rise very, very early. So that's, it doesn't make me any difference. But the body can decide. That was her preference.
Would there be any point in passing out, asking during the Sunday morning service? Because, you know, the people that wanted it early probably aren't going to be here tonight. Because this is not an early deal. I don't know that. I was kind of a random thought. Just flying by that if we ask anybody during the morning service, 2 or 3 weeks or a month in a row, to drop a note in the offering box or whatever, that, yeah, they'd be in favor of it. I think the board would sure look at that, or we could bring it up to the body again, too. But, you know, what you're talking about is people that would like something earlier, they just aren't going to be here. It's probably, I don't know if that's going to be another 10 people or just two.
I don't know.
Yeah.
She brought that to me, and I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But she's preferred that for years.
Mm-hmm. Financially, we were kind of worried about how we were going to do earlier in the year. It's worked out rather well. If anybody has some ideas for improvements, capital expenditures, maintenance, whatever, you don't have to bring it up now, but there again, write it down, give it to one of the board members, and it will get considered. And that doesn't have to mean it's a money deal either. You know, we had the Aubrey came up with soap dispensers last year, which wasn't a big deal. We've got them and they seem to be working fine, but it doesn't have to be something big. You know, small works too. And the board did talk about doing a little mentoring and leadership development. We're kind of trying that this year a little bit. I hope we keep that up, but we're just kind of getting a start on that. And a moment or two ago, Steph mentioned getting a call from Becky about the rodeo, and she hadn't got it. But that is out there. If there is a group, I guess, that thinks that they would be interested in that, other than the ladies that did it last time, or maybe they're interested, but I would just remind the group that that is available out there, or has been. And maybe Becky's got something else going and we aren't going to be able to, but that would be a shame just let that get by if somebody's interested in it, because that had worked out pretty good for the youth group and I guess for the ladies group the one year they did it. Is there anything else anyone would like? Yes, Judy?
I just had a quick question. We were, for a while there, we were getting the board, the monthly board minutes emailed out, and that was just awesome. I really appreciated that. I don't know if somehow I'm the only one that isn't getting them anymore, but I know one of my kids said they had liked them and weren't getting them either, so.
All right, okay.
I thought maybe they weren't sending them anymore, or.
We
put them on the back board presently. But I don't think it'd be too hard to reinstate an email and not to everybody if you'd like it, if enough people want it.
Which reminds me, Sharon, you're sitting here and you ask us about being in the board minutes. You'd asked me about that, and I have been sending those to you. You're not getting them?
No, I am.
She is.
Okay.
We were talking about it yesterday, or Friday, when we were working on the history, and I said, well, I'm not getting any anymore, so.
Okay. Okay, so Joe's saying he will get those out of the body now. Anything else? Okay, if there is nothing else, I will declare us adjourned, and something to say or no? No? Okay.
I was in the Bowery. Where's the ballot on Saturday?
I don't know. That's just how it's coming up. So Jerry is headed to get ballots. Is that what's going on? Okay. So we'll vote, and if I'd ask you to leave your ballots lay in the back pew somewhere, and then retire to the fellowship hall, I assume.
Anybody need ballots?
I think everybody does.
Okay.
Oh, we passed them out on Monday.
What?
We started passing them out.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.